Well, good morning. Y'all are a quiet group today. It's good to see everybody out. I'm glad that you've come. I hope that you have brought your Bibles. We're going to be talking today about a subject that I think is important. And in trying to develop this lesson into where it would make sense, and hopefully it will make sense, I kind of stumbled upon a metaphor about military service. So we're going to talk about baptism, we're going to talk about taking an oath, and we're going to talk about what it really means to become a Christian. Because I think there can be a tendency, and I'm talking to myself here, to talk about baptism, right? What do I and every preacher do at the end of every sermon, right? We say, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to be saved, come forward and we'll be baptized. Well, I think there can be a danger in preaching baptism in and of itself. Because becoming a Christian has very little to do with baptism. Okay? In the same way that becoming a member of the military has very little to do with my computer not working. Hang on just a second. Forgive me. Not sure what happened here. Okay. There we go. And as I was trying to say, this was going to be really smooth the way I had this set up. In the same way that taking the oath for military service is very little part of the decision to actually go into the military. When you're thinking about going into the military, you're going to take that step in your life, is what you think, man, the energy it's going to take to repeat that oath is hard. You're not a member of the armed services until you take the oath. But that oath is a very small part of your decision. I don't know if you can see that right there. That's young Justin. And that's a picture from him swearing in. Colton has not sworn in yet, but he also is going in the Air Force. Jim apparently is doing some recruiting here for the armed services. Proud of you. Thank you for sending me that picture. I didn't let Rick and Deborah know I was doing that. I don't know if Justin did or not, but that's kind of moving. But when you think about Justin's decision and Colton's decision, if he makes it, to enter into the military service, right, you don't think, oh, well, the hard part of that is the oath. Well, I've got to convert that guy. I've got to recruit that guy to take in the oath. No. The oath is important. You're not a member of the armed services without the oath. But giving your life to the armed services, making that decision to submit yourself to the Army or the Air Force or the Navy, that's the hard part. And that's what we never need to misunderstand about conversion. When we're making someone a Christian, we're not making you a baptized person. You're entering into the Lord's army. You're submitting your life to the Lord. That's what conversion really means. So our lesson today, entitled More Than Baptism, and we're going to take a look at how this parallels, in a lot of ways, military service. And let's start with preaching. And we're going to do that by going to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and Truman read this verse to us. Acts 11 is a description of the first Gentile church. In Acts chapter 10, and then again in, a repeat of it in chapter 11, Peter interacts with Cornelius. Cornelius and his household are known as the first Gentile converts. Up until then, only the Jews had become Christians. So once that occurs, there has not really been a full Gentile church. Antioch is the first Gentile church. I want us to look at, I'm going to read this text, what they preached and to what they were converted. What they preached and to what they were converted. Because they were not converted to baptism. They were not converted to the church. Okay? So let's look at what is preached and look at to whom or to what they were converted. So I'm going to read, in fact, this section, I'm going to refer back to this as we go through the lesson. But I'm going to read the whole thing in its entirety from Acts 11, 19 through 26. Acts chapter 11, 19 through 26. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. What did they preach? Did they preach baptism? No. Did they preach the one true church? Also no. They preached Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord. Never forget that phrase. I make quite a bit of it because I think it's key to understanding the gospel. Jesus in Matthew 28 and 18 says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." It is key to understanding Jesus that he is Lord. God has made him king. He has given him a kingdom. God has chosen to save certain people. Guess who? Those in Jesus' kingdom. So to enter Jesus' kingdom, obviously I have to have faith that Jesus is real, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus was resurrected. But I have to submit to him in a way that says, "Lord, I give up my life for you. And what you say I will do." That's what someone does when they enter the armed services. They go in and say, "You want to ship me to Afghanistan? So be it. You want me to go to training? You want me to go do this? You want me to go do that? So be it." So they preached the Lord Jesus, and then they turned to the Lord. Take a look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Because I think this point is I can't make it strongly enough. I am not converted to baptism. My baptism is essentially, in this parallel, the oath that I take because I am going to enter the kingdom of Jesus. I am making him my Lord. Notice it says they were added not to the church but to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 talks about these same ideas. Paul here says, "Because if you confess with your mouth," look at this phrase, "that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Now we know Romans chapter 6 deals with baptism, so I'm not going to slow us down with having to argue that. If you have questions about whether baptism is essential for salvation, I'll be glad to take all those questions at any time you'd like. But what he's talking about here is believing what? That Jesus was raised from the dead, and confessing what? Jesus is Lord. That is not a confession of the existence of a fact, okay? Let's say that I know that Vladimir Putin is the prime minister, whatever he is, ruler, king, autocrat, oligarch, whatever. I honestly don't know what he's, chancellor, whatever he is. I think Angela Merkel is the chancellor of Germany. It's one thing to say, "I believe Angela Merkel is the chancellor of Germany." That's not what's being referred to here. Not what's being referred to here. I'm not saying I believe Jesus was a real person. I'm not saying I believe Jesus has a kingdom. I am confessing Jesus as my Lord. I am his humble servant. What he says I will do. That is the thing we confess. And people will only get to that point if we preach the Lord Jesus. Loving us enough to save us. Powerful enough to save us. Master of a kingdom in which we can serve. So we have to understand that. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Same idea. I would argue with you that Ephesians chapter 1 is a reference to baptism. The word baptism is not referred to here, but I would tell you that it is. Baptism and confession are essentially the same thing as the oath, right? You're not really a member of the Air Force until you take the oath. You're not really a member of the church. You're not really converted to Jesus Christ until you confess him as Lord. And then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you think back to Acts chapter 2, 38, we know these things to be true. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not what it says. It says, "and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What I would tell you is, When Paul writes this in Ephesians 1, they're parallel passages. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When do I become a Christian? When I'm sealed. There's an old song, Signed, Sealed, Delivered. Scott sang the song, Blessed Assurance. How can I know I'm a Christian? I can know I'm a Christian because I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. When does that occur? When I believe. Notice the idea here of I hear the gospel. Verse 13, I believe that I'm sealed. If I read Acts 2:38 and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, do they make perfect sense together? Yes. Once I take the oath, once I confess Jesus Christ as Lord, once I have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, believed in him, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, once I am baptized, then I'm in the body of the Lord. Then I'm converted to Jesus Christ. I'm added to the Lord. If you still got your finger there in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, it reads like this. Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. For Barnabas, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now you have Acts 2:47 up there in front of you, and it's out of the King James Version of the Bible. Well, we know this is Acts chapter 2. This is the first day of the preaching of the gospel. We have 3,000 people baptized, praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily. Well, how does Acts 11 say added to the Lord, and Acts chapter 2 says added to the church? That doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense when you understand the nature of the church. Because the church is not a building. The church is a group of people who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. They are a group of people who have had the Lord Jesus preach, have been converted, and confessed him as their Lord, believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. They've been baptized and thus sealed with the Holy Spirit of God for the day of redemption. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Added to the Lord, added to the body, added to the church, sealed for the day of redemption, are all the same thing. They all mean becoming a Christian. They all mean being converted to the Lord Jesus. The preaching of Jesus on the cross, the preaching of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, leads to people being added to the Lord, confessing him as their Lord, becoming submissive servants, being obedient to the form of doctrine to which you've been delivered in Romans chapter 6. So that's how we become a soldier. That's how we become an airman. By the way, I don't know what you call someone in the Coast Guard. I was thinking about this today, that you're a soldier, an airman. I don't remember the other words, and forgive me for that, but a guardian? I don't know what somebody in the Coast Guard is called. But soldiers have to go to training. Soldiers have to go to training. Taking the oath is not the end-all, be-all of your military service. Once you're in, once you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, once you become a Christian, once you're added to the Lord, the work just begins. And we need to present it that way to people before they become Christians. They need to understand that they are electing to serve Jesus Christ as Lord. So soldiers have to go to training. Look at verse 25. I'm in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Becoming a Christian is not about being baptized. Becoming a Christian is about becoming a disciple. It is about becoming a soldier for the cross. Notice that when these people turned to the Lord or added to the Lord, what did they do with them? They taught them. Same thing in the military. You sign up, you take the oath, you get in, they give you an MOS. The first thing they do is they're going to send you to training to know how to do your job. Christianity is the same thing. The word disciple is kind of a dual word. It means a learner, but it also means a follower. In other words, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I should want to be like Jesus. I confess Him as my Lord. I say to Him, Lord, Your will be done and not mine. I learned about Him. I convert my heart to be more like Him every day. And I become a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. The learning is key. Baptism is not the end of my Christian service. It is the beginning of my Christian service. And only then do I become trained, do I begin to learn, and am I taught so that I can be useful to the master. If I go into the Army and I don't know how to shoot a rifle, what good am I? If I go into the Army and they put me on a crew where I'm working a radar and I know nothing about radar, what good am I? I'm no good to the master. I have to learn. In the same way, we Christians have to do the same thing. Jesus said this in Matthew 28 and 19. Right after He said, all authority has been given to me. In other words, I'm the king. So what's the proper response to being the king? Go therefore and make disciples. The King James Version there says teach. Go therefore and make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're not making a decision to be baptized. We're making a decision to be followers of Jesus Christ. And that includes a dedication to learning and training. I love Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern, to distinguish good from evil. Did you know you were signing up for training as a Christian? Did you know that you were going to have to study and be taught? Did you know that you were going to have to follow? You should know that ahead of time. If you don't, it's my fault. It's those of us who preach to you. Because being a Christian is about all those things. Now, the good thing is, we're marching to Zion. We're following our victorious leader to a heavenly home. We will be undefeated. We've overcome death. We've overcome all obstacles. We're on the winning side. The book of Revelation can be summed up with that. We win. That's it. What's the message of Revelation? Don't worry about what you're going through. We win. Our Lord rides on a white horse, and He overcomes death and tribulation. So when I become a Christian, I dedicate myself to being trained so I can be useful. So I can do something in the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 refers to the idea of not the way we've learned Christ. I kind of hesitated about how much of this to quote. I'm not going to quote it all. Paul here is basically talking about the difference between the old man and the new. And the old man that lived in sin versus the new man that does not. And what he's saying here is, we should reject sin because we know those things are not of Christ. No person who calls Jesus Christ as Lord can engage and continue in sin. One of those two things is not, you're not submissive to Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who died on the cross for your sins, who overcame sin and overcame death. You can't be His servant and also engage in sin. That's what Paul means here by saying, that's not the way you learned Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him, and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. How do I learn how to act? I learned about Jesus. I learned about God. And then I follow. It's not enough just to learn. The word disciple does not mean just a learner. It means a learner and a follower. So as I become a Christian, every day of my life should be a life lived in repentance. Repentance and a turning away from the world, and of repenting and turning to God more every day. How do I do that? I have to learn. Read about Jesus. I don't know how many times you've heard me talk about it. I don't know how long it's been since people wore WWJD bracelets. Love them. I'm pro WWJD bracelets. In case you don't even know what that means, what would Jesus do? That's what learning about Christ means. Read the Gospels. Think about how Christ was motivated in those situations. Think about what Christ had the power to do, what the power he had to get himself out of, what he had the humility to serve. Think about those things and then do those things. Christianity is not about, military service is not about the oath, and Christianity is not about baptism. It's about learning the Lord Jesus and following him. It seems like I'm making it harder to be a Christian, doesn't it? But I want to tell you, it's the reality. Jesus says the same thing. Don't enter. We talk about the new covenant. The new covenant means the new deal with God. We enter into a relationship with God that says, I will make your son my Lord. I expect the blessings of the kingdom. That's the basic idea. I will submit and you will bless. I will submit, you will forgive. I will walk in faith, you will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That's the basic setup. Well, that's a lifetime. That's a complete commitment. That's not about getting wet for 5 seconds. That's about how I live my life. And Jesus said, you need to count the cost. I don't know the last time we sang the song, Have You Counted the Cost? It's kind of a warbling sounding song for those of you who remember it. Have you counted? Have you counted? That section doesn't always go great. Have you counted the cost, though your soul may be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own? Here Jesus is saying this, if you're going to be my follower, you need to think about what that entails. If you're going to stand up and take that oath, you need to know the Air Force has you for 3 years, I'm assuming, minimum. 4 years minimum. He signed up big time. He's made the U.S. Armed Services his Lord. He's going to do what they tell him to do, or he ain't going to be in the Army no more, or in the Air Force. That's another parallel, by the way, for another time, for another day. You can walk into the Lord's army. If you disobey, you can find yourself court-martialed and out. But let's look one more time at what Acts chapter 11 says, and then we'll look at one verse in Luke 14. So Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Becoming a Christian starts with preaching of the Jesus is Lord. It comes with us being added to the Lord. It comes with us learning about the Lord and then behaving as much as we can like Jesus. And then it involves faithfulness. We all know Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, right? Be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of righteousness. Same idea here. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Gentiles had become Christians, they send Barnabas, and his message is, stand firm. Remain faithful. Finish what you started. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, understand the commitment you're making. Turn over there if you will. There's a whole sermon here. Don't worry, I will not give it all right now. But this is where we get that song, Have You Counted the Cost? Because if you think I was making it hard on you, Jesus even makes it harder. Jesus wants you to understand that Christianity is not easy. Those who become Christians can expect persecution. Those who become Christians must give up their will. Those who become Christians must say, I will die to a life that I live where I was king and I will make you my king. I will stand before you, Lord Jesus Christ, and I will walk in faith and I will do the things that you say. That's a big deal. That's a big, serious commitment. That's a commitment to which the apostles in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to say, stay faithful to that commitment. Look at what Jesus says in Luke 14. I'm going to read 26 through 33. Luke 14, 26 through 33. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If you thought I was making it hard to be a Christian, meet Jesus. He doesn't mean you have to have anger in your heart toward your family members and your friends. But I tell you what he does mean. You have to put me first. You have to love them less than me. I don't know what that sounds like to your ears. It can sound harsh. But Jesus means it. Because if you're going to make the kind of commitment to follow Jesus, then that means you're going to have to leave those who are still in the world. Because you can't let those in the world draw you away from Jesus. Because they can't save you. They've shed no sinless blood on the cross. There's salvation in one name only, and that is Jesus Christ. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is not making this sound any rosier. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Notice how that last phrase ends where we began. What did they preach? Lord Jesus. Added to what? The Lord. Whose disciples? Jesus. How do I become a disciple? I learn and I follow. It's a big deal. Christianity is a big commitment. I think sometimes there can be a danger, and I can't admit to it any more than I'm admitting to it, of making it simple and saying, Jesus died for you on the cross, and do you want to go to heaven? And if you want to go to heaven, you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. By the way, that's eminently correct. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not really the thing I'm asking you to enter into. It's not really the thing Jesus is asking you to enter into. He's asking you to give your life and your will to Him. To take the oath. To give up what you possess. To put yourself under His will. To call Him Lord. And Jesus says, you better count the cost. Because it might mean your family. It might mean your friends. But if you choose them, you choose something that cannot bring you salvation. Christianity indeed is more than baptism. That's our lesson. Now comes the invitation. How do you give an invitation after that lesson? I will tell you it's easy, and I tell you why. Because God loves you. Christianity is the good life. If you'd asked me when I was 15 years old if Christianity was a good life, I'd have laughed at you. I thought of Christianity as just boring and terrible and me not being able to do the things that I want to do. But let me tell you something. You let sin take you further than you want to go and you come back and you come to the fountain of Jesus Christ and you drink from that fountain and you truly submit and you truly have faith in Jesus Christ and it becomes easy. That's why faith is key. Do you believe that it'll be okay? If you don't believe that it'll be okay, you'll fight it. You'll fight it. Well, I still want to. My will makes me happy, Lord. I'm not picking on anybody. I know. I promise you this isn't about nobody in this building. I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to curse when I was a Christian. I didn't want to give those things up. You know why? They work for me. They're part of my daily life. They're part of how I communicate. They're part of my personality, who I was. I didn't know if I could give those things up and be happy. I did not have faith. You have to have faith to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have to have faith that He's going to be with you and He's going to make it okay and that your life is going to be washed clean and you're going to have this sensation, this feeling of God with you and God rejuvenating you from the inside in your heart. That your life will not be a barren place, that it will be an oasis of life. That's Christianity. Yes, I have to crucify my old life of sin. Yes, I have to do away with those things. Yes, I have to convert my heart to be like Jesus. But let me tell you something, what a great place to be. If you have faith that if you serve Jesus, He will save you, then you need to count the cost of two things. What it means to crucify your life here so that you may live eternally here and eternally in heaven, versus the cost of keeping the things you have, gaining the world, and losing your own soul. My prayer for you is that you choose to turn to the Lord Jesus and serve Him. That involves taking the oath, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. If we can help you, come forward as we stand and sing.